Hello, I'm Floyd Maxwell, justthinkit.com, bringing you a Floydcast number 31 for September 15, 2014. I have an extraordinarily deep voice this morning. I just got up. A little bit late starting today. Well, quite a bit to talk about today. You know, it's interesting, I'm doing Floydcast number 31, which 3 and 1 is 4. This is a principle based on 9, so every time you get to 9, the next number is 1, because there is no 10. So 9, 18, 27, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 27 plus 4 is 31. So we're in a fourth Floydcast, and I guess the reason I'm mentioning that is that there seems to be a lot of very dark news in the last week to 10 days. It's almost like, where do I start? Okay, so first of all, what's the world cycle? Because the world cycle is very important. The world's in the 8th year this year. So this is the harvest year. This is the year that most people, you know, want, right? We want the harvest, we want the fruit. But it's the fruit of what we've planted. If we've planted bad things, this is the fruit, the harvest of bad things. And of course, the people that control us have planted bad things, they always do. And this is the harvest for them. They're dancing around amongst the grapes. They're making wine with their shoes off and having a great time, because everything's coming their way right now. Things are pretty horrific. Next month is a 2-1 month of the 8 year. We're in a 1-9, by the way, a 1-9 month right now, September. Well, you know, the 9 could be losses. It's certainly unsettled. Next month, 2-1 months should be good, right? But what happens is, in the last 3 months of a year, you start to merge with the next year. Well, next year is a 9 year. So if we think we're having a few losses or whatnots right now, we're getting a hint of what it's going to be like next year. And next month, the undertone is felt of the upcoming year, and it's a 9 undertone next month of a 9 year. So, in other words, the bad conditions will continue until the morale improves. All right, let's get to the stories. Went to Google News this morning with what's big on the news. Pennsylvania trooper ambush. It appears that two troopers, one was like leaving work and one was coming to work, they got ambushed. And one was killed, one was injured. Now, this is horrendous and unfortunate. But there's another story this last week. I'm going to read it here. The CBC, this is the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, is warning Canadians about a U.S. program where America law enforcement officers, from federal agents to state troopers right down to sheriffs in one street backwaters, are operating a vast coordinated scheme to grab as much of the public's cash as they can through seizure laws. Well, the bottom line is that people who, some of whom are not even law enforcement, are pulling people over, and just if they feel like it, if they get a whiff of a hint of something that they don't think is right, they'll search you, and then if they find a large amount of cash, they'll take the cash under the reasoning or the auspices of saying that, well, this is drug money. And I guess this is happening quite a bit. It's happening all over. And what's going to be the consequence of that? If you just start stealing people's money, and that's what this is just raw theft. This isn't anything but. If you just start stealing people's money, pulling them over and politely stealing their money, what's going to be the extension of that? There's going to be a backlash, right? Now, I'm not saying these two events guaranteed are related, but they might be. They might be related. It's really a, what do you expect? Well, here's what they expect. Here's what the 1% expect, because the 1% is orchestrating all of this, right? This is sort of the equivalent of letting your pit bull out on the street and letting him or her bite people and letting the pit bull get a taste of blood. When you start letting people steal money from other people, and you can read this story, I'll have the link up. When you start letting them steal money from other people, it goes to their head. They're like, wow, this is fantastic. My life just got better. Right? Look at all this money I'm taking home. So you're setting up a conflict. Well, who are you setting up the conflict between? It's between the little people, the 99%, and not the 1%. You're setting it up between a third party, an intermediary, in fact, a front man, a fall guy. So what are the things that will be accomplished here? What they want to do is they want to get rid of all the rabble-rousers. They want to get rid of anyone controversial. You either are helping them become rich and wealthy and maintain their power, or you are not needed. It's as simple as that. So this will cause the people with a head on their shoulders, people who get upset, the people who want to do something right, this will cause them to get upset. And some of them will do something foolish, and then those people get picked off. They get shot, they get thrown in prison, whatever. And now they're out of the system. That's what they want. That's exactly what they want. Also, they don't mind if law enforcement looks bad in all this. Because, I mean, does law enforcement look good in all this? Pulling people over randomly. And by the way, it's apparently very hard. There's like very little recourse, or it's very expensive legal recourse to try and get your money back, to try and get the seizure back. This is basically a, hi honey, I'm sorry to tell you, but they pulled me over and I just lost, you know, X thousand dollars. That's what this is. This is not something you can do something about. It's like a negative lottery. So this is the kind of thing they want to do too. It's sort of like the Occupy movement. The Occupy movement, in my mind, was clearly a controlled movement. Something where they have their plants within the system. Maybe it was even just a trial run. And they're watching the whole thing and they're going, okay, who's going to do what? Who are the big instigators? What are going to be some of their tactics? Great, thanks for letting us know, guys. All right, let's put an end to that Occupy thing and carry on. It has nothing to do with the surface goals of those movements. Nothing whatsoever. That's just that's for the saps. That's for the suckers. Because really, what can you do, right? Does occupying a building have a chance of accomplishing anything at all? Of course not. Anyway, let's get to the troopers. Brian Dixon of Dunmore was killed. What's his name? He's got 652 first name. Dixon, 663. 325 total, 5 destiny. So the guy who dies has a 5 destiny. Well, we've seen this before, haven't we? What about the other trooper who gets injured? Alex, 696. Excellent name. Douglas with 2 S's. 178 last name. He's got some very strong qualities, right? But what is the total? You got to get a good left hand, a good right hand, and a good total, right? Well, when you add it together, 775, accident, looking for a place to happen, 5 destiny. 2 guys with a 5 destiny get involved in sort of a random shooting, right? All right, we're just going to move past that story. Now we have the British Prime Minister, David Cameron, announcing on Sunday, which I take it is today, they're 8 hours ahead of me here, he will work with allies to defeat the terrorist group Islamic State. I believe this is the thing they're referring to as ISIS or ISIS, capital ISIS. And that countries must drain this poison from our society. My question, who's to say any of this is real? Who's to say any of this is actually going on? They announced way back in the Bush Jr. days, they announced who the axes of evil were and who they wanted to attack next, right? Well, frankly, ever since then, it's kind of been like the bully on the playground who pushes you and pushes you and pushes you, and he's trying to get you to attack him so that he can beat you up. That's what's been going on in North Korea and Iran and all that. They're just trying to come up with excuses to attack these countries. Well, these countries have nothing. These people are dirt poor, like pretty much everyone everywhere right now. And this is just more provocation, right? Now we've given them a big fat name. It's a whole bunch of members, I guess, of this Islamic State. It's not just like one group within one country. So now it's like a whole bunch of them you can point your fingers at and go, we want to get rid of them. Well, this is, you know, getting towards World War III material, isn't it? Well, just for fun, let's look at David Cameron's name and just see, what do we get from that? What do we get from Mr. Cameron? Well, David 134. This is about as dogmatic, thick-headed, stubborn and narrow-minded a name as you'll ever deal with. Great guy to be a prime minister. Wow, awesome. Inspirational. Or not. Last name, Cameron. 336. Good name. But, what happens when it's paired with the other name? 461 total, 1 destiny. Well, what do we say about the 1 destiny? Hard physical things happen to them. Interesting how this guy's total, 461, is an inverse of his first name, 134. So he's fours and ones. Probably the worst numbers to have in your name because they just narrow the focus. You become a perfect tool for somebody else, frankly. All right, there's a story of an instructor in Arizona, Charlie Vaca, who got shot and killed, I believe, by a 9-year-old wielding an Uzi. I guess he teaches people how to shoot or whatever. And I didn't even read the full details, honestly, of the article, but I imagine this 9-year-old pointed the gun at him and pressed the trigger, right? It's kind of like, what do you expect to happen? This is a part of, you know, gun instructing and gun range stuff that freaks me out. This is where my Canadian comes through. I mean, you're at a range, right, where you have this murderous instrument with a full clip, so to speak. What is to stop anyone at any gun range from pulling the gun and firing at other people? Yeah, they will shoot you back, yeah. But still, people are going to suffer. More than just the guy who pulls the initial trigger. Like, it'll become a horrendous situation. It's interesting, has there ever been a movie that included a gunfight and a gun range? I can't think of one. Maybe there has been one, but it's almost like they don't even want to film this. It's horrible. And it's the fundamental problem of guns. It'd be like playing with some super toxic stuff and then wondering, oh, gee, you spilled some of it on yourself. What a surprise. Now you're dead. I mean, really, what do you expect? It's like these extreme sports where, you know, you dive and you're cliff diving and you have a wingsuit and you jump off a cliff and now you're coasting along in your little makeshift pseudo-parachute wingsuit. And periodically, these guys touch the ground, going 120 miles an hour, and they turn into a lot of red blotches on the ground. What do you expect? It's like there's a number one activity that you want, and then the number two activity, the second most likely activity, is one you really, really don't want. Do you really want to be having those two things so close together? You know what it reminds me of? The Japanese, there's some part of the fish that's like ultra toxic. It's like enough to kill 50 people or something. And they have to, I think it's the blowfish, but I could be totally wrong. And they have to clean out the super toxic stuff and then they serve it to Japanese businessmen in a sushi bar kind of thing. Do you really want that supposed pleasure to be so close to dying? Do you really want that? You know, this is one of the drawbacks of cars in general, right? The supposed pleasure of driving, and I think for all of us, when we get some degree of thrill or some degree of satisfaction from driving, and right next to it is someone could die. Remember, I was really young, and this was in Canada, and on our horrendous 401 highway, and our really stupid cross-Canada highway, stupid as in, like, the world's worst designed highway. Among Western countries, anyway, it's probably the worst. And, like, for many years, in fact, where this accident happened, they had this huge amount of land. It was enough for probably 6 lanes each way. And for many, many years, decades, tens of years, it was 2 lanes each way. They built it as 2 lanes, and they never expanded. They never used all the land in the middle. I think finally they have now used some of that land in the middle. Anyway, I was just driving along, and suddenly coming toward me the other direction, and of course with such a wide separation between the 4 lanes, there was no danger, but suddenly this guy just went off the road and just started tumbling. That highway speed. I think I might have been working. Because, you know, I never attract that kind of thing myself. But someone else must have been driving. I think that was the case. That's why I got to watch the whole thing. And just suddenly this guy is just like a NASCAR. Just going end over end and just many, many rolls. I have no idea how many, but there's no replay, right? With like a truck or something. And just end over end over end. Hard to imagine he lived, by the way. Pleasure and pain so close together. So, you know, it's unfortunate that a 9-year-old shot somebody with an Uzi at a gun range, but really, putting an Uzi, a loaded Uzi, in the hands of a 9-year-old? Who came up with that idea? Good old Charlie Vaca came up with it, right? Or he certainly condoned it, right? Or it was already done before he even knew what was going on. Like, the kid came in, you know, the parent had loaded it and handed it to the kid, like, you know, you're up first. So what is Charlie Vaca? Let's have a look here. Charlie, 652. Well, that's a likable name. That's a name that's going to go along and be very agreeable. Go along with things. Vaca, 213. Super agreeable name. This guy was probably the most agreeable, friendly, likable gun instructor there ever was. Total of his two names, 865. Five Destiny. Okay, we know this is a Five Destiny story, right? But you know, this guy probably died because he was too nice. He just sort of went along with things and like, oh, well, we're not supposed to do that, but okay, you go ahead. But again, what's stopping a 9-year-old from pointing it at anybody? They can't possibly. Their prefrontal cortex is not developed yet, so they don't have that. They call it the executive. They don't have that decision-making part of your brain fully developed. They cannot possibly know the full impact. You could talk to them for hours. They would not understand the full impact of having a loaded gun. So, you know, unfortunately, the 9-year-old has to live with this and grow up with this. They're going to have a very difficult life. This comes back to the parents, right? I would love to know the name of the parent or parents that set this whole thing up. Let's get Billy to shoot an Uzi. Let's move on. Lots to get to today. This was an interesting story. Very different subject. Does internet advertising work at all? This was in the Atlantic business section. Quote, the internet was supposed to tell us which ads work and which ads don't. But instead, it's flooded consumers' brains with reviews, comments, and other digital data that has diluted the power of advertising altogether. So then I make a prediction reading that sentence that major corporations are going to decrease internet advertising. And of course, these so-called data breaches, you know, where big business websites supposedly get breached, they get broken into, and our emails and birthdays and account information, credit card numbers get spread around to the four corners of the earth. I think that stuff's all going to continue and increase. And the trolls, of course, the trolls are a whole subject in themselves. They're not going anywhere. So the result of all this? They want to decrease the effectiveness of the internet. The internet has been a leveling medium, a good medium, a medium that takes the corporate hierarchy and chops off all those layers, and then we're all just at the same level, right? Or close to it. You could probably say there was two levels with the internet for many years. There's those who wrote or published something, and then there's those who consumed it, right? Well, they want to get it back to a broadcast medium, just like their television and print publications, right? When it's a broadcast medium, they broadcast the message. We take it. That's it. We take it in the butt, right? Speaking of that, there was a story, and I never even recorded the details of the story. It was like 2 weeks ago. And it was like some big consortium, like Cisco and a couple of big companies, were getting together and they wanted a new internet, a new design for the internet. And it was interesting that there was a large Chinese, like from China, company that was backing this new consortium, this new method of interneting. And people on Slashdot, just a few quick comments, but they said that this was a getting back to broadcasting type of a system. This was a system where you get rid of all the little people. So no wonder China was involved in it and going like, yeah, thumbs up. That's what we want in China. We broadcast and everyone else listens, right? Well, imagine Cisco was behind this, and some very large North American companies were behind this as well. And I very much doubt we've heard the last of it. Very much doubt that. Okay, I have some further comments on this story. I say that advertising is a sham and a scam anyway. Advertising is to make things appear to be level. So you have horrendous junk and you have good-for-you stuff. The good-for-you stuff will sell by itself, right? It doesn't need advertising, right? So advertising is for the junk, or the overpriced, or the, well, it's coming from us, so we make the profit. We want to drive out the little guys, right? Well, anyway, the sham and scam of advertising is, I think that it primarily doesn't work, and I think it has never worked. I remember dealing with a small business that I worked for them, and really got to know them. And they didn't advertise. They did not advertise at all. They thought it was a scam at that time. Well, they were absolutely right. Their business did great. They sold it, you know, for a good price and retired. A family bought the business, and they're carrying on, you know, great guns. So basically the point there is that advertising is a waste of money for small businesses because it doesn't work. And of course, the whole thing is mean with advertising that you cannot track results. Now, if you put a coupon in an advertisement, you can track results, right? Someone brings the coupon in, you get so many percent of your population that's bringing coupons in, you're like, that's great, we know they're reading our ad. Actually, all you know is they like a coupon. We go to a local restaurant, when we have the coupon for them. If we don't have the coupon, we don't go. Also, advertising is trivially easy for the super large companies. Now, imagine you're some large insurance company. Like, for me, Geico, as much as I like Geico ads, and I really do, they were what Volkswagen ads used to be. Volkswagen used to be the sort of the king of advertising enjoyable ads. Usually print ads. Video ads. This is, 10, 15, 20 years, probably 15, 20 years ago. Well, Geico's taken over that hat, that mantle. But Geico is a gigantic insurance company. You know, we all spend, let's say it's, and I'm just making up a figure, but let's say it's $1,000 a car per year. Let's say in America, and these are just rough figures, let's say there's 150 million cars times $1,000. That's $150 billion. Let's say Geico has 10% of that. Wouldn't surprise me if they had 20, but let's say it's 10. That's $15 billion a year of revenue. There aren't $15 billion a year of accidents. If there were, they would jack up the rates. So if they're bringing in $15 billion, it's probably safe to say that the accidents are probably $5 billion, maybe $7 billion. So they make $7 billion. Yeah, they got to pay their salaries and pay for a few fancy buildings. But what about the advertising campaign? It's chump change to them. It is nothing. They could throw $1 billion at advertising, and it wouldn't even be 7% of their operating revenue. It's nothing. Absolutely nothing. And that's a $1 billion campaign. And the ma-and-pa business can barely afford a $500 campaign. Advertising is slanted to the big companies. And then there are buddy-buddy deals among the big companies, right? You use our products and we'll use yours, and then, you know, they get the ultimate super low mega discount rate to each other, and it's just creepy. Having to rub shoulders with big businesses is creepy in itself. And then finally, I say that advertising is like everything else, it's about the message. Well, Geico is controlling the message. Big businesses are controlling the message, whatever that message is. I remember when Geico got into motorcycle ads. I'm going to do a Pete's break before I start coughing here, croaking. Hang on. Ah, the preventative Pete's break. I remember when Geico got into motorcycle ads, and they were the tamest, lamest, this can't be Geico ads I'd ever seen. And I thought, what the heck? And then after watching maybe two or three of them, I figured it out. What is one of the highest risk types of insurance? Motorcycle insurance. So do you want to come out with a really exciting motorcycle ad? Then you'll attract the most exciting motorcycle riders. Are they the most stable motorcycle riders? No, they're not. So if you look at the Geico ads for motorcycles, they are particularly informative. They are highly targeted. The message is everything. The first ads, they were clearly going for the accountant who drives his motorcycle once a week on Sunday afternoon if it's not raining. There's even one of the later motorcycle Geico ads where the guy has like dollar bills taped to his body and they're flying off of him. So what are they saying there? They're saying, well, our insurance will save you money. But no one dresses like that. So they're creating an anti-image. In other words, if you're image conscious, we're not appealing to you. We're explicitly filtering you out. We're only going for the people who are worried about the money. People who are worried about money are more rational than people who are on a motorcycle for a thrill. So this is some cleverness on Geico's part. And who knows, maybe that's part of their campaign entirely, right? They keep pushing that it's cheaper, and they keep attracting people who care about saving another 10% on their insurance, right? And again, you're attracting the people who are more rational. And who knows, another thing, I mean, Geico ads are funny. They're going to appeal to people who have a sense of humor. Well, if you had to pick a category of people who get into less accidents, I would say people who have a sense of humor get into the least accidents. Or, if they get into an accident, they're like, oh, well, insurance premiums go up, what do you expect? And they carry on, they don't switch providers. You know, this stuff is thought about way more than we think it is. And the big guys can do that. They can have a whole team that thinks about nothing but the consequences of their ads. You know, there's so much collusion amongst big companies, there's collusion amongst products. you'll see a new type of a bottle, a soda bottle, will come out, and suddenly all the big boys are using it. How did that happen? There's collusion on message, right? You know, now we have, with Progressive Insurance, we have Flow with Progressive Insurance. And again, it's very plasticky and tacky and kind of slightly creepy ads, right? And she's doing motorcycle ads, and it shows her riding her motorcycle, and she's going about 5 miles an hour. Is she appealing to the black leather biker? Absolutely not. Her colors and her behavior is literally the opposite. Couldn't be more opposite. But these big companies with their ads, they want unified messages. They want us to get a nice warm feeling, like when there's a progress in the industry, then they all quickly jump on board, and then we're watching this and we go, oh good, they're all offering that new discount or that new safety feature. And it gives us a nice warm feeling, right? While life gets more control each day. Interesting, if you don't like the ads that are running, if you have a product that's the opposite, let's just take hypothetically, let's say I win the lottery and I want to advertise my anti-microwave radiation articles. Do you think I could advertise? Do you think I could pay and run ads in newspapers, on radio, on TV? No. It would not appear. They would not appear. People have tried this in many different fields. They simply won't publish them. That should give you some pause. What they don't publish. That should be a website. WhatTheyDon'tPublish.com. Whoever hears this, you're free to use that idea. Just send me a small commission. That's all I ask. This is, you know, anyway, all of this is like the troll behavior in internet forums. There are systematic trolling on certain articles. And apparently someone was, I forget where I read this, but someone was saying, you know, they know who the problem people are in each industry. They know where they hang out. In other words, you get assigned a handler. If you're a bit of a disturber in your field, and you hang out on joesconversy.com, they will, one or two or ten of them will hang out there too. Maybe just one, and then when you post, and they send a little instant message to each other saying, hey, we got to get on the board and reverse this, and then you get carpet bombed. On Slashdot, one of the favorite tactics is they will mod you down as overrated. When you do that, nothing sort of shows up. You just go down a notch, and you become less visible. And apparently there's a meta-moderation system on Slashdot, which what it means is the moderators get moderated. If I don't like Joe and I want to moderate down all of Joe's posts and I use my points, which by the way are very carefully metered out, and every time I see Joe's post, I moderate it down. Ha ha ha. Well, with the meta moderation, they would go, this is interesting. He's modded down this post and there's no reason to have done so. Everyone else liked this post. Well, he did it again. And then I don't get mod points in the future. So they moderate the moderators. That's what meta means. But the interesting thing is there's no meta-moderation of overrated. It's truly, it's a free shot. You know, in fighting, they're like, go ahead, give me your best shot. And the guy just like points to his chin and like, go ahead, hit me right here. That's what the overrated moderation is, a free shot. So they'll moderate you down as overrated, and then they will come out with typically asinine responses, which are basically the opposite and stupid is pretty common. And then they will moderate themselves up. Now, you can do that when you have multiple accounts. You can build up karma in your accounts. And as I say, if there's 10 of you, then one of you's got mod points. It takes literally nothing to do this. You have nullified the message. You've created a new message or a distraction message when you say stupid stuff and get it moderated up. It's basically stupid, right? People read and go, oh, that's kind of dumb. I don't know why they moderated it up. And then they go on to the next thing. That's what dumb stuff does. Dumb stuff isn't a bad joke. Dumb stuff is look elsewhere. But if you told someone look elsewhere, they would start staring right where you are. So you do it with dumb stuff. That gets them looking elsewhere. So perfect sanitization and perfect return to message by the trolls. So that story. Does internet advertising work at all? I don't think so. I don't do any advertising on the internet. You know, sometimes when you get certain products, I think it's when you get hosting from certain companies and they'll send you like this Google AdWords, like a starter account. I guess this Google AdWords is sort of like crack cocaine. I mean, it's like you start it and you're like, wow, I'm getting all these people coming to my website. But then, of course, your tiny little starter amount of money runs dry, and now you have to keep paying for people to come to your website. It has nothing behind it. It is exactly like a starter amount of a drug, and it just gets you hooked, right? I've never bothered with those things. I think that it's foolish. Why get your hopes up based on nothing? Why, you know, start rubbing your hands and planning your successful future when there's no basis for it? People either like what you're saying or they don't. People either come back to you by their choice or they don't. What you do and how you buy your votes is irrelevant. You're only fooling yourself, and a lot of people do that. All right, speaking of the Ray Rice scandal, this was a big thing in sports world this last week. I guess, you know, we've talked about Roger Goodell, who was in test cycles when all this came about, and he still is, by the way, he's still in a test month this month. TMZ released more video of this incident where it showed inside the elevator. All we had seen in the past was the elevator doors open, and Ray Rice pulls his knocked-out fiance out of the elevator. Well, now we see him hit her in the elevator. And I guess there was, you know, some real nastiness between them. Who knows who started and who did what? It doesn't really matter. But, you know, spitting and various things. I think I had talked briefly about Ray Rice and sort of comparing him to her, because they aren't qualitatively different, their numbers. In other words, they're not really a good fit, mathematically. Ray, 178. Rice, 538. 617 total, 7 destiny. So the most aggressive numbers are the 1, 5, and 8. That's what Ray Rice is, 1, 5, and 8. Even his letters, his vowels, in Ray, it's a 1 vowel. In Rice, it's a 5 vowel. This guy is, you know, he's meant to be a football player because he's got all these aggressive, powerful numbers. And then he's got a 7 destiny. Well, guys are not the most... Oh, and by the way, a 1 and a 5, not good at expressing themselves. Well, then he's got a 7 destiny. That's not good at expressing itself. It's terrible. In fact, with the 7 destiny, you want to be by yourself. You don't want to be hanging around with other people and life of the party type thing. And then guys tend to be more bottled up or have poorer expression than girls as it is, right? So he's got, in terms of lacking expression, the numbers that are working against him are the 1, 5, and 7, and that he's a guy. Let's look at her numbers. Janae Palmer. She was Palmer. Janae, 246. 2 is the best number for communicating, for being able to express yourself. Palmer, 652. She's got 2 in the first name, 2 in the last name. Married to a 6 or coupled with a 6 in each case, the 6 being probably the best supporting number for the 2. And then it gives her an 898 total. Super confident total. I'm not trying to say anything negative about her, but this would be a super confident person. A super expressive person. And then she's a girl, and girls tend to be, you know, on average, more expressive than guys. So this guy, who's all power and lacking expression, is around someone who is super expressive. This is a recipe for a problem in itself. This doesn't justify what he did. He doesn't have balanced names. What he did was unbalanced. And, you know, we reap the consequences of our imbalanced acts. I'm not trying to say that he's not at fault. He's completely at fault. But what is at fault? He being his name. He has a name that will put him at fault. And it did. Hey, more to his birthday. Add more to the picture. His numbers are 147 for a 3. So he's 27. He's only just come under the middle number of... He's a 3 in the birthday, and he was under a 1. Well, what were we saying? We're saying the 1 is that sort of that bottled up number, right? Up until January of this year, this guy was under a 1. He was a 3 under a 1. He was bottled up even in the birthday. And by the way, what cycle is he in this year? He's in a 4-year. In February, when the assault in the elevator occurred, he was in a 9-4 month. He's in the most testy month of the most testy year. He was under that 1 influence in his birthday, bottling him up. He has nothing but bottling you up numbers in his name. He's a big, powerful guy who's bottled up. And he's with a girl that's very expressive and probably, you know, balanced, relaxed, happy, confident. Says what she thinks and bang and, you know, can't you keep up with me kind of thing? No, he can't keep up with you. Eli Manning. It's interesting, Eli Manning played a game this last week, and I don't know if he's played a game since then. But he played and he looked terrible. It was on Monday Night Football, so it was on the 8th. I guess it was this last week. And I looked at him in the press conference afterwards, and he looked terrible. He looked worn right out. But what was interesting was I said out loud at the time, he looks like he's in the same cycle as I am. Because I, that day, happened to be super tired, super worn out. Well, here's the thing, there are only 9 cycles. 7 billion people, 9 cycles. That means right now, 800 million people are in the same cycle as me. So in other words, I wasn't making a masterful prediction. The chances of him being in the same cycle as me is 1 in 9. But the point is that I was in a very discordant day. I was in a day that you want to rest and try and avoid problems. Sure enough, he's in the same cycle. And he had a horrendous game. It couldn't have gone worse. And it just showed on his face. You know, the numbers in action once again. Olbermann update. Olbermann moved to more daytime hours. I think I was talking about that last week, that he was going to be moving. His show has dropped from 60 minutes to 30. And now he comes right before Bob Lee, Outside the Lines show. They seem to have dropped, his show went from 60 minutes to 30. What did they cut out, right? They seem to have cut out his extensive sort of baseball coverage, you know, the baseball highlights, which is good as far as I'm concerned. You might recall me saying that baseball is the grease in the gears. It's sort of what keeps the sports channel alive for about half the year, a third of the year. It's also interesting that Olbermann, I thought he would be more reliable, right? Like, you'd catch him more often. That hasn't worked out. I've only seen him about half the time. So I wonder if they've kind of marginalized him a little bit. Yeah, he's in a better time slot, but he's not on as much even. I have seen less of him since he moved. And his show is half as long. One of the things about Olbermann, the last name, is that it's a 314. If you've ever watched his show, what I'm going to say next is no surprise. The 314 is a very loud combination. The kind that would wear loud colors. Especially in women, you'll see that. You'll see women, if you see a woman that's wearing just like shockingly loud colors that don't work together, look for the 314 or the 483, similar. Anyway, I wonder if they've had just about enough. His opinions have been a little bit strong of late, maybe too strong. And this might be a move that looks like a good move, but doesn't work out for some reason. Anyway, we'll keep you posted. Big Apple announcements this last week. iPhone 6 and iPhone 6 Pro and the iWatch. I guess this was a much anticipated thing, and this is one of the first big products or product lines announced since Steve Jobs. I'm going to just get a quote from one of the articles. I read a bunch of them. Biggest thing Apple showed off Tuesday wasn't a product or even a product line. It was the way all of the Apple products and thousands more from other developers, manufacturers, and services now mesh together. It is like a huge, ubiquitous computer now, all around us, all the time. The interface is the very world we live in. And these are selective quotes from the article. Apple is building a world in which there is a computer in your every interaction, waking and sleeping. A computer in your pocket. A computer on your body. A computer paying for all your purchases. A computer opening your hotel room door. A computer monitoring your movements as you walk through the mall. A computer watching you sleep. Computer controlling the devices in your home. Computer that tells you where you parked, taking your pulse, telling you how many steps you took, how high you climbed, how many calories you burned, and sharing it all with your friends. A computer in your car. All of it. The same computer. The computer in the sky that connects you to the computer in your pocket and on your wrist and in your car, your office, and your home. My comment, I do not want this. Not one single thing mentioned in that paragraph is something I want. Ever. There's a fair bit more in that article. It's very creepy. Let me give you a lighter story. Maybe a month ago I lined up at Costco checkout. And as I say, I tend to get there kind of early, the first one. But some days I had to work, and so I ended up getting there later. And so people are in front of me and all that. Well, I only had 3 or 4 large items. So I didn't even bother unloading my cart, right? I just put the whole cart to the side, and they're just going to go beep, 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 and then the stuff goes through, right? And there was like 3 of one thing and 1 of another, all big items. In fact, I think I didn't even go at my regular time. This wasn't my regular shopping. I think Costco had some deals on a few items, and I just went to get them. So the cashier started to process the person behind me, their stuff, because their stuff was on the little conveyor belt thing. I put up my hand, and I stopped them, and I pointed at my cart, and I said, everything of mine is in that cart. The cashier burst out in thanks. This person was greatly relieved that I had stopped him right at that point, and he said, "You would not believe how many people say nothing and let me start checking in the wrong items and somehow expect me to read their minds." Well, I smiled and took a note of his name, David. But David is a 134, and there's someone that needs to have things spelled out and direct. He got it, he got that from me, and he couldn't contain his appreciation. So this is the advantage and the power of the numbers. I mean, if I had done that same thing with a different quality person, they might have been reacting like, "I know." I still would have done it. I mean, for me, it's just a matter of, that's how I operate, right? The engineer in me operates as a sort of a belt and suspenders kind of quality, what they call deterministic. There are some things that are indeterministic. In other words, if I don't tell anybody and I just line up there, it's indeterministic what will happen. He may figure it out, or she, or they may not. It's indeterministic. Well, why would I want to go through that? Because if they mess up, if she starts ringing in the wrong things, and I stop her, now she has to like, "Oh, let me reverse this out, and manager, and get the key, and it looks bad on their record, and everyone gets slowed down, and there's huffing and sighing." Nobody wins. If I put my hand out and stop him from ringing in the wrong items, even if he goes, "Yeah, I know," what's lost? 3 seconds, 4 seconds. If I can control my reaction and go, "I don't care what this guy says, I'm just trying to avoid a problem," then it's deterministic. Problem avoided. Least amount of time wasted. Carry on. Let's see how we're doing here on time. There's something I wanted to get to. I've got like 30 wireless stories again. In part because of that dreadful Apple announcement. That's going to produce a bunch. But then I was researching yesterday. You know, more on that later. But here's the story from Wired. Story headline: How the man who wired Facebook helped build the NFL stadium of the future. San Francisco 49ers have a new stadium. Hang on, Pete. These stadiums are billion-dollar affairs. As has been the case recently in recent stadiums, they build them to be, you know, wired. They build them to have lots of TV monitors. And more recently, there's been a realization that when you have 70,000 people, and that's what this new stadium, 49er Stadium, can hold, when you have 70,000 people in one spot, and at a sporting event, just stop and think about, say you're at this 49ers field, and the game's being broadcast. When the game's being broadcast, when you punt to the other team and there's a change of possession, when the referee blows the whistle, you don't have everyone lining up and then a minute later the play starts. You have at least a 5-minute break for the TV commercials. Well, what do those 70,000 fans do for 5 minutes? Well, you can go to the bathroom. I was going to say you could line up for food. I have a feeling that lining up for food is like a takes 15 minutes kind of an affair. I don't know. Probably varies by stadium and by time of during the game. But you can also whip out your smartphone and start checking out, do I have any messages? Do I have any texts? Can I send a text? And of course now people are watching the game and they got these casting applications, these applications that send the game to their phone. They might be watching having their phone held up during the game, right? So that they're looking for the replays, right? Well, imagine the amount of data that's being shipped around when you have 70,000 people with smartphones, because these are not poor people. Poor people don't go to football games. These games probably cost an average of $100, $200 for the cheapest seats. I mean, it's just pathetic, but you need money to go there. Well, if you have $200 to throw away for a 3-hour sporting event, you've got a smartphone. Well, sure enough, this new stadium will have 1,200 Wi-Fi access points. Now, they call them access points as if it was a little plug in the wall. That's a misnomer. Let's say this differently. This new stadium will have 1,200 cell phone towers inside the stadium. That's 1,200 broadcasting antennas. The worst home routers, and routers are one of the worst things you can have in your home, by the way, wireless routers. The worst ones have like 4 antennas. So let's take 1,200 divided by 4. That'd be like having 300 of your wireless routers from home at the stadium. Minimum. And they're probably like more heavy duty than your home routers, so 600 of these access points are inside the bowl, as they call it, where the fans actually sit. In other words, it wasn't enough to have them out in the concourse, you know, the outer rim of the stadium where you walk around. 600 of them are out there. Because when you're lining up for popcorn, you want to be checking your smart meter, right? Your smartphone, right? Imagine you're in a lineup and you got someone, and this must be happening everywhere now, you got someone behind you and someone in front of you and they're all checking their cell phones. It's becoming dangerous to be out in public. I mean that. You'll find out. If you're not on board with me about the dangers of wireless, you're going to find out. Sooner or later, your choice, you're going to find out. Quote from the story, Wired story, if this is not the top, it's right near the top of stadium networks. They've been unusually aggressive with their technology, and it looks like they have achieved what they wanted to achieve. All right, a bit of an interlude there, like about 10-hour interlude. Had to do some work and a few interruptions, distractions. Getting back to this 49ers stadium, and by the way, that game is going to be on tonight in about an hour. This stadium can ship 40 gigabits per second of data around. They say it's 40 times faster than today's fastest home internet connections and 4 times what you find deep inside other NFL stadiums. 400 miles of cabling for Wi-Fi alone. Each of those Wi-Fi hotspots serves only 100 fans each. It all would be very amazing and impressive and wonderful if it wasn't harmful. And then they're saying, because some fans are sure to just use their cellular service as opposed to Wi-Fi, there's Wi-Fi and cellular, whether you're aware of that or not. One is, think of it like a generic internet, and the other one is specific to the phone system, but it can still send packets of information. Williams and his team have also set up antennas around the stadium that can boost some cell signals as well. Over the course of the Broncos' preseason game, an average of 15,000 people were on the Wi-Fi network at any one time. 15,000 people, each of them acting like a cell phone tower, blasting data, either receiving tons, usually receiving, or sending data. And then it says here, 2/3 of fans are using phones, such as the iPhone 5, that can establish 5 gigahertz connections across any of 20 different channels. Older phones are limited to 2.4 gigahertz and are more likely to clash because they can accommodate only 3 channels. So, the modern phones, we've talked about this, as you get to higher radiation, you get a faster connection, you get more radiation. But in addition, with these 20 channels to choose from instead of 3, well then, you know, more people can be blasting more data at the same time, right? So I say, thank goodness, higher radiation to the rescue! And they've installed 1,200 wireless beacons that can pinpoint your location and provide directions from place to place. How hard is it to move around the stadium? Do we need place to place directions? Well, you're in R and you're going to S? Well... And the 49ers offer a smartphone app that lets you order food for delivery straight to your seat or arrange for pickup at a nearby concession stand. Oh yeah, concession stands. I remember those. So I say, well, if it is the stadium of the future, that much is for sure. I got the name right. There was a guy, I just searched on the internet, and there was a guy talking because I was curious. What is the radiation like at these individual hotspots? That's what I want to know. I want someone to take an acoustimeter into that stadium and measure the dose when you're sitting on top of an antenna. I mean, literally, it's like sitting on top of a cannon, you know, or a machine gun. Take your pick. So it says here, unlike a personal device such as a cell phone, iPad, or laptop, which all have... By the way, what I'm reading from this site, I don't even think I've got the link here anymore, but these guys were trying to sell a product that fits under your laptop and is meant to shield your body from your laptop, which is useful. But then, of course, they pick up on this because these radiation these wireless hotspots are right underneath your seat. So you can see them coming up with a gadget, a pad that you sit on so that the radiation doesn't go as readily through your body. So in other words, they're a little bit biased. So unlike these other devices, which all have radiation issues of their own, but which users can take precautions to prevent their exposure, well, of course, they sell the pad that is your precaution, right? Patrons at these venues will in most cases be completely oblivious that they are sitting directly on top of a Wi-Fi antenna that could, in all likelihood, be damaging their health. A Wi-Fi antenna is basically a scaled-down cell phone tower that emits EMF radiation constantly, so even if fans are not using a cell phone or other personal device, They may still be affected if they are sitting on or near enough to a seat that is fitted with a Wi-Fi antenna that is emitting radio frequency signals. Now multiply that by 1,200 mini Wi-Fi antennas installed in a stadium. The cumulative effect could be up to 1,200 times worse. Well, are you ready for some football and some radiation? I went and researched a bunch about Wi-Fi and wireless radiation yesterday after reading that article in the 49ers stadium. And maybe I'll save it for another day for a purely wireless day, but there's a lot more. A lot more that we individually need to know, and things are just a whole heck of a lot worse than we thought. There was a guy, Rodney Palmer, making an appeal, probably to a local school board. I don't even remember the details. He did a YouTube, I'll have the link. It was about Safety Code 6. This is in Canada. They had some, I don't know if it's still applicable, they had some idiotic safety code way of dealing with threats in general. And basically, they're in a situation where they got a cell tower thing like right across the street from the school. Kids are literally dying at this school. Three different kids have collapsed, two of them died, and one of them they resuscitated because they had installed heart resuscitation devices in the schools. This is how they're dealing with it. Here's your wireless, which makes you money, and then here's your resuscitation gear when those kids have a heart attack. Yeah, we're talking kids having a heart attack. This guy had all the research done and everything else. At the end of it, the school board that he was addressing, all they could do was talk about how they were offended by some of the things that he said. They felt like he insulted them. They didn't address what he was saying. They didn't say, well, we're obviously going to change this and that's completely not what we're about and everything else. They were offended. Oh, well, you're offended. Kids are dying. Kids are dying. Stopping breathing. Heart stopping. Bury the kid. And you're worried about being offended. Well, aren't you a nice, fine adult? Isn't that lovely? There was a lady, Magda Havas. I'll talk about her in the future more, but she really knew her stuff. 90-minute video is excellent. All right, let's get to the other weeks. It's challenging. We have to restart a podcast or Floydcast. It's challenging because you want to get the volume levels right. And they're just Murphy's Law. They're never the same volume. I'm not talking at the same level, or I'm not the same distance from the microphone. Whatever it is, it just never will be the same level. So this part will be either a little bit quieter or a little bit louder than the other part. Anyway, bad driver of the week. I guess there's a guy, I think it was in California, a deputy policeman, was answering email while he was driving. And as a result, he struck a cyclist and killed him. Well, you'll be pleased to know justice will be served, and he will face zero charges. So that's always a good thing. Or not. Maybe not. Let's go with not. I must confess, I sort of lost the groove of the cast. It's going to be hard to bring it back here. This is going to be a shorter one than normal this week. Reread of the week. Did I read anything this week? I started to read Rupert Sheldrake's book. It's got two different titles, one in Europe and one in America. Isn't that weird? Why can't you have the same title in two places? Somebody's giving this guy bad advice. Well, you need a different title in America. Anyway, his book. Started reading that. There's something I want to take from that, and I want to write a whole article on it, so I'm sort of holding that in my back pocket. But rewatch of the week, I watched Robin Williams Remembered on PBS. This was really exceptional. Public television, no commercials. People like Louis Anderson, I think Billy Crystal was in there a little bit, and Whoopi a little bit. I'm trying to remember who else was in that show. Just telling what it was like to be around the orb of Robin Williams. People were talking about, the Fonz, Henry Winkler, the Fonz from Happy Days, was talking about how Robin came and started on Happy Days. And he was Mork for Mork on Happy Days before he had his own TV show, and how he was just a revolution, and how the improv level. And apparently, between all these different people that were interviewed, they said there was only one guy who could ever improvise as good as Robin Williams. And that was Jonathan Winters. And in the fourth season of Mork and Mindy, I guess Jonathan Winters' character was brought in. And you'd get these wild improvisations between Robin Williams and Jonathan Winters. They sort of excerpted a little bit of it. And, you know, it clearly could go on all day. Let's put it that way. But it was a treat to listen to all that. At the same time, I didn't research it too fully, but there was some scuttlebutt on the internet that was this a murder, basically, Robin Williams. One of the things that one person said was they cremated Robin the next day. That's a little fast. That's a little unusual. And they were just
sort of implying, well, you know, you get rid of the evidence, right? Anyway, you know, unfortunately, there's going to be these little moments with Robin Williams, and none of them are going to be good. As the Mindy character, I forget her name, but she said, you know, the whole world is in mourning or was in mourning when Robin died. I mean, he was just that kind of a guy that just touched us all so deeply, more deeply than we would like to admit. For many of us, I'm happy to admit how I thought the guy was top of the heap and world class. I was always offended by how the Oscars shunned Robin Williams. The Oscars will always shun great actors if they're not part of the system, if they're not part of them, part of the 1%. And Robin Williams, for all of his greatness, was never part of the 1%. And so they feel an obligation to shun those who are not part of they. And it cheapens them. It makes them look that much more creepy. And to give Robin a supporting Oscar, that in itself, if you think about it, is a massive insult. Because Robin, wherever he went, literally wherever he went, and by the way, he supported the troops and did like world-class service in support of the troops. Probably the only one close to him was like Bob Hope or something. He would do anything for anyone. The more you research it, the more you find that out. And so to give Robin the supporting actor treatment and say, oh yeah, that's when you got an Oscar, was for a supporting actor, what an insult. Be like saying to Gandhi, you know, Gandhi, that time when you introduced that other famous guy, you were really great introducing that other famous guy. What an insult. That's all they're good at with Robin Williams' is insults, in my opinion. They are not worthy of Robin Williams. They, the Academy. And of course, now they're going to cash in. Now the libraries are all stocked up with Robin Williams DVDs, and you know they're going to be checked out and worn out, and then more are going to be bought. And where's that money going to go? I'll tell you one place it's not going to go. It's not going to go to Robin Williams. Some people are worth more dead than alive. It's a sad, horrific thing to say, and it's a simple fact. All right, cool or uncool thing of the week? Uncool. I saw a Smirnoff advertisement. You know, these booze advertisements on TV. Hey, let's introduce people to this toxic poison and get everyone to drink and kill themselves. Isn't that inspirational in itself? Well, this Smirnoff thing, what I took offense to is it's a Smirnoff watermelon mimosa. And what I don't like is a drink that has watermelon in it. Are you appealing to grown-ups with that drink? Are you like a 55-year-old executive for, you know, some big corporation and you go into the bar and you're like, I'll have a watermelon mimosa, please. Who are you appealing to with that drink? I'm going female and I'm going a whole lot younger. I remember when Sony came up with, you know, my first Sony was the concept, and so it would be my first Sony MP3 player or my first Sony this, that, or the other thing, and they wanted to get kids early with the Sony, right? Well, they want to get them early with booze, too. My first booze. So, I don't know. It rubbed me the wrong way. I mean, booze in general rubs me the wrong way. I could take probably any ad and find something offensive about it. Speaking of Heineken, those Heineken ads are really horrendous. They started a new campaign. It's been like a year or two now. Total failure in that Heineken campaign. If you're listening, guys, do something else. Total failure. You take something that was the class of beers and you have ads that are, first of all, you can't figure out what they are. And then when you make the mistake of accidentally listening to part of them, you wish you had not done so. Now you've got to purify your ears. And you go and have a half an hour shower to try and clean yourself out. Just disgusting. All right, cool thing of the week, Subway update. Consumer Reports readers rated Subway the healthiest of all fast food chains. 96% of readers said they found healthful meal options at Subway. 96%. You know, there's just something about Subway that rubs me the right way. I like it. Quote of the week. It must be remembered that there is nothing more difficult to plan, more doubtful of success, nor more dangerous to manage than the creation of a new system. For the initiator has the enmity of all who would profit by the preservation of the old institutions, and merely lukewarm defenders and those who would gain by the new ones. Mignon McLaughlin. Born in 1913 and passed away in 1983. You know, something for you to think about. Who do you support? If you want good things to happen, you have to support them. You know, if you're counting on the media to support something and like, oh, I'll just choose the number one, you know, videos on YouTube, or I'll just choose, you know, what's on Channel 6, you're part of the problem. You have to go out of your way, whether it's locally with your neighbors or in your workplace. You have to find the person that's being, you know, like with chickens, they'll peck the other chickens. There's a pecking order. The top female chicken doesn't have any blood coming out of their neck because they're pecked the least. And then the next chicken down is missing a few feathers, and then the next one down is missing a few more feathers, and then the bottom chickens, they're bleeding blood all the time. They're pecked the most. So we determine who survives and thrives and who doesn't. That's one thing the 1% cannot control is the 99%. They can't actually do it. They can lie to us. They can fool us and make us, you know, try something that's, you know, garbage. But if we figure out who's who in our workplace, we can support the good people. If we figure out who's who with the neighbors, we can support the good neighbors. If we all had standards about who we hang with and who we don't hang with, we could change the world. But it has to come from the bottom up. They will always corrupt anything from the top down. So, here's to the creation of a new system. This has been Floyd Maxwell, justthinkit.com, doing a Floydcast number 31 for September the 15th, 2014. Good luck with your life. Take care.